Our epistle for this fourth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 through 23. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come that will be revealed in us. For the eager longing of creation awaits the revelation of the sons of God. For creation was made subject to vanity, not by its own will, but by reason of him who made it subject, in hope, because creation itself also will be delivered from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the sons of God. For we know that all creation groans and travails in pain until now. And not only it, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption as sons of God, the redemption of our body in Christ Jesus our Lord. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. At that time, while the crowds were pressing upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by Lake Gennesareth, and he saw two boats moored by the lake. But the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. And getting into one of the boats, the one that was Simon's, he besought him to put out a little from the land. And sitting down, he began to teach the crowds from the boat. But when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said to him, "Master, the whole night through we have toiled and have taken nothing, but at thy word I will lower the net." And when they had done so, they enclosed a great number of fishes, but that their net was breaking. And they beckoned their comrades in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had made. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left all and followed him. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come that will be revealed in us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. My dear friends in Christ, two thoughts prevailed in my mind as this Sunday approached. And the first, of course, was brought on by today's epistle. St. Paul reminds us of time. It comes to an end. Life is just a test. We must make a choice. And it must be a sincere choice. It can't just be kind a choice, because a kind a choice won't work. The choice must be, simply put, God first, always first. God first, always first. Not some little saying that easily runs off our tongue, but a way of life, a way that we must live. We do what we do in our life to prove our love and our want to be one with God. Christ himself says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. My Father will love you, and we will come to you and make our abode in you." There's a choice that must be made each day, and the individual must make it. And it doesn't matter what other individuals think. It matters what God thinks. It matters what God knows. And God knows his creatures. God sees the depths of our hearts. It's important, therefore, for us not to play the game of religion. We just do this thing on Sunday, we have to do it, and then we kind of go on with the rest of our life and do the same old, same old. That's a sure proof way of failing the test we call life. Now, a part of this test in life, there is a need for us to be obedient to God's will. God's will, that's an easy thing that we hear at church, but we don't really consider it as we should. God's will primarily is our daily duty per our vocation, our daily duty per our occupation, our daily duty where it concerns our fellow men. And then we have the acceptance of God's permissive will. God permits us to have crosses and trials and temptations in our day. The man who thinks that for some reason if they say this prayer or say that prayer, they're going to be without temptation is a fool. Because life is just that, a test. That's what a temptation is, a test of our love. And these come in small ways and big ways. Let's examine ourselves for a moment and see how we pass these tests. Let's take a really small example. How we treat our fellow men. How we treat the stranger. We're driving down the road and somebody cuts us off. How do you treat that moment? Is it a litany of expletives which you would not want to say in front of our Blessed Mother? And the reality is, when we go down that road, we've already said it in front of God, in front of our guardian angel, and we pray that our Blessed Mother isn't there. Or do we take that moment to say a prayer for that soul? Who knows what type of day they're having? God's permissive will has allowed that person to interfere with your day and your way. Maybe even scare you a little. And how did we respond to it? Did we live the scriptures where it says, don't be overcome by evil, overcome evil with good? Not that that was evil, but it could have been. Could have been somebody who is reckless and doesn't care. Could be somebody who is in an emergency. We don't know. How is it that we treat those who have offended us, either real or apparent offense? Do we hold on to it or do we forgive it? Not for our own sake or even for their sake, but primarily for God's sake. And it will then follow that it will be for our own sake and for God's sake and for our neighbor's sake. Remember what Christ says, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that persecute and calumniate you. This is part of the test of life. Something that we have to make sure we manage day in and day out. God gives us opportunities. This is the second thought that came to my mind. Well, of course, they're tied together. But God gives us opportunities to practice virtue, to prove what we say when we say, I believe, to prove that we love him. Today, we not only celebrate the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, but it's also the feast of St. Thomas More. Now, for those of you that don't know who St. Thomas More, and for those of us who do, it's good to meditate on his life. But let's give a brief summary of his life. St. Thomas More was a lawyer, was an ingenious individual. He was very intelligent. And as a lawyer, he was renowned among his peers. And in society, he gained fame, even to the extent where it concerned the king. And the king became friends with Thomas and promoted him to the high dignity of Chancellor of England. Now, if you don't know what that is, it's like you have the king, and then right under the king, you have the Chancellor of England back in the time. Now, the king, for those that don't know, was Henry VIII, the infamous. Now, Henry VIII, who had stood up for the church, is given the title of Defender of the Faith by the Pope, did not like one of the rules that governed his life, a rule where it concerned marriage. He wanted to change it to benefit himself. He thought he was justified because he was the king. And in petitioning the Pope said, no, these are the rules of the church. The king didn't like it. So the king went off the reservation and made himself the head of the church in England. Most of the bishops and most of the people followed. Only two bishops didn't, and very few laymen, especially those who had status, stood for the truth. Most followed the king. Well, Thomas wouldn't follow. He resigned quietly his position as chancellor and wanted to retire away quietly, because another thing you need to know about Thomas is he honored the position of king. You see, authority, all authority, no matter how small or how big, if it's true, comes from God. And it must be honored by everyone. Whether the person who holds that authority or is worthy of it or not. But because Thomas was such an individual, his silence was profound and deafening. People paid attention, and the king knew this, and the king wanted Thomas to side with him. Thomas couldn't. Thomas wouldn't. So instead of leaving Thomas alone in his quiet silence, the king had his minions go after Thomas to persecute him, bringing up trumped up charges, making up things about him, lies. None of it stuck. Thomas used his intelligence to counter the accusations. It wasn't until one of the former, shall we call them friends of Thomas, was elevated to a position, was offered a rank, perjured himself and lied about Thomas's loyalty. Thomas's family was persecuted. His livelihood was attacked. He was imprisoned in the Tower of London. Now, take a look. God's permissive will. He was second most important in the land. Now he was in prison. He was being persecuted. And after the false accusation, he was condemned to death. And after a sentence was passed that he was to be beheaded, or that he was guilty, Thomas then made a stand and said exactly why he was silent. God first, always first. God's will first, always first. So as he was taken up to the chopping block, he was given a few last words, and he said, "The king has instructed me to be brief, and so I will be. I die the obedient servant of the king, but God's first." It is the example of such saints like St. Thomas More and plenty of others who would not go along with the group, because in going along with the group, they would have to abandon God. They would have to out-equate God in their life. And that's why, my dear friends in Christ, this present time, which is short, our model must be God first, always first. He might ask us to do some things and place some tests in front of us that we have to go through, which seem insurmountable or unreasonable, like we see in today's gospel where our Lord asks Peter to go out into the deep for a catch of fish. Peter's like, okay, I'm the fisherman. We fished all night. You don't go fishing at this time of day. Okay, but at your word, I will do it. And then we see the result. The result was, yes, the great miracle of the catch of fish, but there was a greater result, and that greater result of was Peter, or Simon Peter, following his vocation and becoming the head of the church, the first visible head of the church, following Christ. So my dear friends in Christ, as we continue with Holy Mass today, let us consider this, what life is all about, how we make use of our time, our daily time in this life, how we promote God in our day, and perhaps we might need to do a better job at that, and let's do it. Because if we make God a part of our day, a part of our time, it is only then that we can have part with Him in eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.